John chapter number 10 and verse number 7. The Bible says this, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By him, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now, if you'll go down and into the same chapter, verse number 25. "Jesus answered them, I told you that ye, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd use the scriptures to be a blessing and encouragement to your people. Also, dear Lord, if there's someone here that's never received Christ, Lord, we certainly pray they'd be saved. Every single one of us that are saved, there was a time when we were not saved, and so we certainly understand. Lord, we're thankful that folks are here, and we pray, dear God, that if they need Jesus, they'll come to you today for salvation. Thank you for the blessings, Lord, of the past several weeks, and I pray, Lord, that you'd use the word of God, Lord, to just keep encouraging your people. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Very good, and you may be seated. Guys, all of you on the front row here, look up here at me, okay? I think you guys have done enough goofing around talking, okay? It's preaching time, so you need to sit up straight and tall, and we love you. We're glad that you're here, but part of turning young men into men is to teach them the right thing to do at the right time, and so I appreciate you giving me your full attention. I was reading this the other day and rejoicing in the fact of who Jesus is to each and every one of us. You know, he says in this discourse on the Good Shepherd, he actually says that he is something, or he uses the term I am, and he says two different things here. In verse number 7, at the end of verse 7, he says, I am the door of the sheep. Verse number 9, he repeats that, I am the door. So he compares himself to the door of a sheepfold. In other words, if you're one of his sheep and you want to come into the fold, you need to come through the door. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But he doesn't just say, I am the door to the sheepfold. He says in verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. And so he compares himself to the door to the sheepfold and also to the being a good shepherd. And he says that again in verse number 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. By the way, these things ought not to contradict each other. We shouldn't think that, because we study this matter of a shepherd and we study this matter of the sheepfold, and the shepherd would get all of the sheep into the fold, into the protective pen or protective fence. And he did not have a door as we would imagine a door that swung on hinges and closed and kept them in. The good shepherd would become the door to the sheepfold. So he literally would sleep across the entrance of the sheepfold. He would then become that door, that protector, to make sure that while the sheep were resting during the night, when the predators are out, that they would be protected, because he not only was the good shepherd, but he was the door to the sheepfold. Now, Jesus says some things that I want to point out to you. I love this. Verse number 10, I'm going to have you look at it, and then I'm going to have you look at verse 28. Verse number 10, first of all, then verse 28. Once you come to Jesus, once you decide, you know what, I want to receive Christ as my Savior, once you realize Jesus is the door, and by the way, he's the only way. He's the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Once you enter the sheepfold and you go through the door and you accept Christ as your Savior, he becomes your good shepherd. But he gives you so much more, and he gives us so much more. Look at verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Notice what he says here. I come that they might have, what's the next word? Life. And that they might have it more what? Abundantly. So once somebody gets saved, then they have life. And then Jesus said, not only am I going to give you life, but I'm going to give you an abundant life. Now watch this. If you go over to verse number 28, it says this, Jesus again is speaking, and I give unto them what? Eternal life. Now stay with me here because I don't want to lose you. Watch this. When somebody receives Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, you receive life. You say, well, preacher, I'm already alive. Well, you may be physically alive and you may have a living soul. By the way, a living, never dying soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. But the Bible says that you are dead in trespasses and sins. And again, this was true of all of us before we got saved. Okay, physically, a lost person is alive, and they have a soul that's going to live somewhere forever, an ever-living, never-dying soul. But when we sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they became spiritually dead, because a man is a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. When somebody gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes into them and rebirths that dead spirit and gives them life. So for the first time ever, you are spiritually alive. You have life. I just want to say it plain, folks. You know what? When somebody's lost, I'm going to say it, they're not living, they're existing. You're never going to figure out what real life is until you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So the moment you get saved for the first time, God gives you a precious gift called life, spiritual life, where all of a sudden now you can communicate with your Heavenly Father, and you're no longer at odds with God because of what Jesus did to pay the price on Calvary's cross. You can say, God, gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Hey, I remember the night after I got saved, I can remember laying in my bed looking up and for the first time not being worried about what's going to happen to me if I was to die in my sleep. I knew for sure that I was a child of God because you're a good person because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross for me. And so he gives us life the minute that we get saved. Now I'm going to jump all the way over here. What happens, preacher, when this life is over? Well, I've got good news for you as a Christian. You just enter into something called eternal life. And so God gives us, the moment we get saved, life. And you know what? One of these days we're going to breathe our last breath here on earth. Imagine exhaling for the last time on earth. But guess what? The next time you inhale, you're inhaling celestial air. To be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. And so God, the moment you get saved, gives you life. And the moment that you die, you have eternal life. Now think about this. But Jesus said there's something in between here. And this is what I want to talk to you about this morning, you know. Thank God the day you got saved, you got the gift of life. And you know, one of these days we're going to enter into eternal life. But Jesus said, listen, there's something in between that. After you get saved for the first time in your life, you can have the abundant life. Did you see what that says at the end there of verse number 10? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's talking about the old devil, by the way. You give yourself over to the devil in the world, and let me tell you something, he'll steal from you. He'll try to kill you. He'll try to destroy every good thing in your life and every good relationship in your life. But when you come to Jesus Christ, he gives you life. But he said, wait a minute, I'm not just going to give you life. And that they might have it more abundantly. Now, I guess if I named a message this morning, it might be named this. It just keeps getting better. It just keeps getting better. You know, folks, the day you got saved, it's hard to imagine it could get any better than that day. I look back at the day I got saved and I think to myself, wow, you know what? By the way, the most important day of my life. And if you've never been saved, today can be the most important day in your life. Nothing better than knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Nothing better than settling that for all eternity. But folks, listen to me. Jesus doesn't just want to give you life and say, okay, you're good to go until you die, and then you get to go to heaven and you'll have life for all eternity. He said, while you're here on earth, I want you to live something called the abundant life. The abundant life. It just keeps getting better. You know, when I was in Butte, Montana, there was a young lady that Pastor Lowen and his wife was praying for, and they mentioned her several times on Saturday and asked us to pray specifically that she would come on Sunday. I'm going to be very careful not share her name because we do have things going on the broadcast and live stream, and I wouldn't embarrass anybody. But here's a young lady that was in trouble. Here was a young lady, by the way, that had a Christian grandma and a Christian grandpa that was praying for her. They actually reached out to Pastor Lowen and said, you know what, we've got a granddaughter that's in trouble. By the way, you go the way of the world, you're going to find a lot of trouble. You find the way of the world, come on, the way of the devil, you're going to have all kinds of heartache out there. All right. Some of you young men, if you're not careful, you're going to be looking at the clock, and I can't wait till I'm 18, and I'm just going to go out and do my own thing, and I'm going to live. Listen, you have no idea the consequences that are attached to sin. And so, you know, she's in trouble. And she's like a lot of young people out there. And all of a sudden, she broke contact with them, and there was even some things that she said that made them wonder if maybe they ought not to be fearful of her taking her life. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm trying to get you a reality check. Some of you young people that are raised in Christian homes, come on, don't you ever mutter about it, complain about it. You don't know how blessed you are to be raised in a Christian home. You don't know how many things your parents are protecting you from that's out there. And but she just got in over her head in several areas. And so finally they found her at her apartment. They went there several times and knocked and she wouldn't answer. And they were a little fearful. And finally they made contact with her. And you know what? They said, pray. She promised to come Sunday morning. Here's a young lady that walks in on Sunday morning and you can tell that she's troubled. You can tell that the devil's done his best to destroy her life. But you know what? I sure was glad to see her walk in church. Amen. Woo, come on. I mean, that's a first step in the right direction. And that morning, she heard a salvation message, a gospel message. And during the invitation, she even raised her hand, acknowledging that she wasn't saved and acknowledging that she knew that she needed Jesus. But you know what? When the invitation was given, by the way, she even stepped out and came forward. And I talked to her afterwards and I said, did you get saved this morning? And she said, no, I listened to it all and I'm thinking about it. You can just tell there's this struggle. Come on, would you pray for her? Would you pray for her, you know? And she said, there's just this struggle. And I know what the devil's doing. He said it on her shoulder saying, you know, if you really get saved, you're going to have to give up this and give up this and give up this. And, you know, I want to say to the devil, well, what has this and this and this brought her to? What do you mean give up all of that? Stop letting the devil tell you what you're going to have to give up. Why don't you listen to the Lord tell you all the things you're going to get? Okay, because she's barely existing and God wants to give her life. But he doesn't want to just give her life. He wants to give her abundant life. And so I talked to her afterwards in the parking lot real quick. And I said, listen, I've been praying for you. And I said, did you get saved? And she said, no. And I said, you know what? I can't make that decision for you. You know, God has and requires each and every one of us to make our own decision when it comes to salvation. What's that mean, preacher? That means I can't get saved for you, you can't get saved for me. By the way, if you die not saved, you can't blame anybody else because it's your choice, okay? And so God makes it that way. And I said, listen, I know that you heard the gospel. I'm not going to go back over. I know the lady took you to the scripture. I'm not going to go through all that with you again. I said, can I say one thing to you? And she said, yes. And I said, the Christian life is the greatest life ever. And I just said it like that, and she got the kind of a shocked look and a big smile on her face, and I said, I don't even know how to describe it. I said, I don't know a thing about you. I don't know what your life's like now, but I'm telling you, it's not just getting saved that's so awesome. Are you listening to me? It's not just getting saved what's so awesome. It's what comes after that. Because all of a sudden, not only does God give you life, but he gives you life more abundantly. You see, folks, Christians live in such a way that the world can't even understand. And by the way, they're going to think you're weird. You know why? Compared to that mess out there, we are. Thank God we are, you know. I don't mind being weird. I'm glad I'm not normal when I go out and look at what normal is, okay? I'm happy being a Christian. God is supposed to save us, and he is supposed to change us. And you know what? Yes, we're going to have life. And when you get saved, you get life. And yes, you know, we're one of these days we're going to live with Jesus for all eternity. But folks, I just wanted to kind of put the spotlight on the middle one this morning and say, hey, it sure is good in between. It is good to take part of the abundant life that Jesus provides and all the things that comes with salvation and the relationship that you now have with God, where at one time you were at enmity with God, and now, you know what, you can look to him as your heavenly father. The Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and Jesus is that friend that sticketh closer to than a brother. And then I've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that sweet guide that directs me through life and helps me to make decisions and explains the Bible to me and helps me pray. Listen, I looked at her and I said this. You've heard me say it, church. I said, let me ask you this. If you put God in the middle of something, is it going to get better or worse? And she just looked at me and said, well, better. And I said, if you take God out of the middle of something, you think it's going to get better or worse? And she kind of dropped her head and she said, worse. I said, listen, sis, I'm going to be praying for you. I pray that you'll come. Pray for her, would you? I'll give you her first name. Her first name's Sierra. Just pray that Sierra gets saved. I've kept in contact with the low one. She's supposed to be in church today. And so let's just keep praying she gets saved. Amen. But you know, Sierra's just, folks, listen, there's a million Sierras out there. Come on, there's 10 million people just like her. And they're trying to do something that God never intended them to do. They're trying to live this life without God. And you know what, folks? You can try to do that, but I let me ask you a question. How's it going? How's it going? I mean, all I know is when Jesus Christ came into my family, when my mom and dad got saved and I was a young boy, it just changed our family. It changed the dynamic of our family. It changed what was important to us. It reshuffled our priorities. And guess what? Guess what? Life sure became abundant, abundantly good because Jesus came in. Think about that. Now, an abundant life starts with getting saved. Jesus says in verse number 7, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, watch this, he shall be saved. It's a wonderful thing to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I talked to many of you this morning that bore testimony and told me we received Christ in the last few weeks. And young man back here, mama's so proud, and he got baptized. 15-year-old, what's his name? Dylan got baptized and received Christ as his Savior. And folks, there's nothing. I said, that make mama happy? And she said, I just sat out here and cried, you know. And she got a picture of him being baptized, wanted to show me that. Folks, listen to me. It's wonderful to get saved, but the only way to get saved is through Jesus Christ. Okay? Listen, church membership, you can come join every church in the county and you can die and go to hell. Okay, joining a church isn't going to get you to heaven. Come on, you can be baptized till you're wrinkled as a prune, but you know what? You'll just be wrinkled and lost. Well, if I do enough good works, nobody's saved through good works. The Bible says that for by grace are you saved through faith, For by grace, the grace of God, are you saved through faith, by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's a problem with a lot of folks, is they don't want to admit that they're bad enough to go to hell. You know, if I only sinned one sin in my entire life, it would disqualify me from heaven. I don't care if I did 10 million good things and one bad thing. Do you know what? That one sin would disqualify me from going to heaven. But I'm going to tell you something. It's more than one sin that we've all committed. And you know, we're guilty in the sight of Almighty God. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. He died on the cross of Calvary. You think about that. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He has purchased the gift of eternal life. He paid for it. He done it all. The last thing he said on Calvary before he gave up the ghost was, it is finished. He did it all. He paid it all. And he purchased the gift of eternal life, and he's holding it out to mankind. And most people walk by it every single day and don't even give a thought to it. But thank God for the day when I realized that God had provided that for me, and I decided it was time for me to reach out and accept that gift of eternal life. So an abundant life starts with getting saved. And if you've never received Christ, you know what? All you got to do, you say, preacher, this just sounds too easy. But the Bible says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have to believe by faith that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He died on the cross for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day. And then this matter of just asking him to save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name, seems too easy. Years ago, when we and I was over at our Christian school, we put on a big play. And I wrote the booklet called Stay in the Castle, and we had a number of students, so I had to expand the play to include the number of students we had in the school. So we had to invent parts that weren't in the original story. And so for some comic relief back in those days, we decided that we had a castle build up here, and we had these three little street boys, urchin boys, that spent the entire play at different times trying to break into the castle, to try to sneak into the castle, to try to figure out a way to trick the guard at the gate and get into the castle. And off and on throughout the entire play, they are working so hard trying to figure out how to get in the castle, and every trick that they try backfires and it never works. And it was a little comic relief in the play. And at the end of the play, one of the boys looked at the other ones and said, we've tried everything. I don't know what else to try. And one of them looked and said, well, why don't we just go ask him? Did you hear that? Why don't we just go ask him? And he said, the other two said, are you crazy? You think you can just ask and they're going to let you in? And he said, well, it's worth a try. We've tried everything else. He walked over to the door of the castle. He said, I'd like to come in. And he said, you know you don't deserve to. And he dropped his head, I know that. And he said, well, that's what I was waiting to hear. Would you like to come in? Yes. He just opened the door. The kid looked back at the other two guys. They're like, are you kidding me? They tried swinging on ropes. They tried climbing the walls. They tried tricking the guard. And it was like, all of a sudden, the other two was like, are you kidding me? So they ran over and asked if they could come in. I'm going to tell you what the devil's done through a bunch of, come on, religion. I'm telling you, religion has confused more people, and religion, different religions have caused more people, I think, to go to hell than all the bars in Greene County put together. And what they're doing is constantly telling you, well, you got to do this, and 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 you got to do this. And it's so hard for a gospel preacher to get up and say, hey, folks, listen to me. Jesus already did it all. He did it all. He paid for all of it. Well, then what do I got to do? Do you know that you don't deserve to go in? Yes. Are you willing to ask him? Yes. Preacher, it can't be that. It's that simple. It's that simple. And then after salvation comes this abundant life. Now, let me just say an encouraging word to many of you that have just gotten saved. Listen, I'm glad that you have life, but don't miss out on the abundant life, okay? An abundant life starts with getting saved, but an abundant life continues by learning to follow the shepherd. And that's what this portion of scripture is about. If you go back up to verse 3 and 4, the Bible says in John chapter 10, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. I like this part where it says, he calleth his own sheep by name. I want you to understand that God wants you to have a personal relationship with him. You say, does God know my name? He knows a lot more than that about you. The Bible says he knows the number of the hairs on your head. That's how much he cares about you. And you know what? He knows your name. And he wants you to follow him and to hear his voice. Now, the abundant life. How do I get in on that, preacher? I've gotten saved. So what do I do next? You have a relationship, personal relationship with the shepherd. Listen, Jesus does not just want to be your savior. He wants to be your best friend. He wants to be your guide through life. And he wants to be able to help you, to guide you and direct you. And by the way, protect you. Come on now, protect you from everything that the devil is wanting to throw at you. And so don't forget that. So you follow his voice. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. That's what the song says. You know, somebody asked me, preacher, how do you have a good day? I said, well, you get up, read your Bible, pray. And then after you pray, you look around and find Jesus. And whatever direction he's going, just head after him. And you'll probably have a pretty good day. Amen. Just follow the shepherd. Just follow the shepherd. You know, listen to his voice. Listen to his voice. Jesus said in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was talking about himself. See, Jesus and the Bible are synonymous. You know, when you read the Bible, you're hearing his voice. And when you read the Bible, you say, preacher, I don't understand it all. Look right up here. I've been studying it for 40 years. I don't understand it all. Make you feel any better? This is a perfect book. And you'll spend your whole life studying it, and God will still open up new things to you. This week, I saw things in this book I'd never seen before. I'm telling you, you'll never get to the depths of it. Don't be discouraged if you read some of it and you don't understand it. Just keep reading it. Because as you do, you know what? You'll begin to understand a little more. And then God will open up a little more. And God will open up a little more. By the way, one of the things that will help you to grow is to come to church and listen to the Bible preach. Because I think especially during the early days of our Christian life, you know what? Going to church and listening to a preacher who has studied it for 40 years say, let me explain some of it to you. And let me show you what it means. And let me show you how it can change your life. And let me show you what God wants you to know. Boy, that helped me grow a lot just by attending church. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Just come in every time the doors. If you'll listen to his voice, you'll begin to grow. And then you follow the leading of the good shepherd. And leadeth them out, John 10:33. You know, I couldn't study this without thinking of Psalms 23. Many of you know it. You've heard it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. By the way, the best life is the life following the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's some sweet things you'll get to experience, some good days. And you know what? Even if you have to go through, later on it talks about that valley of the shadow of death. You know what? He said, you know what? I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. And I've never told Christians that because you got saved, you're never going to have to face some hard things, because you are. But I can tell you this, you never have to face them alone. Before you got saved, you had to face all that junk without God. Now you get a chance to go through these things and face it with the Lord. And by the way, well, why would he have me go through this? You know what? If you're patient and you listen while you're going through hard times, it's amazing how many things that God will teach you. And listen, I don't know about you, but I've learned more in the valleys of life than I have on the mountaintops. And you know, we draw closer to God during the hard times than we do the good times. Come on, it's just the way it is. So you know what? We just decide we're going to follow him. You know, and then the Bible says this, he restoreth my soul. Listen, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And as you begin to follow the Lord, you know what? He's going to teach you to walk the right paths. He's always going to lead you in the paths of righteousness. Now, as you go into Christian life, that means that there are some things in your life that is there. And by the way, God knew it when he saved you and he loves you. But you know what? He wants to lead you away from some things and towards some other things. And he wants you to live a righteous life. You know why? Because there's happiness in righteousness and there's sorrow in wickedness. You know, come this afternoon, by the way. Come this afternoon. You know what you're going to see? You're going to see a bunch of people having more fun than, like, we're going to have so much fun, you're going to think we ain't got any sense at all. We're going to eat, amen, hot dogs, hamburgers, pulled pork. Come on now. I'm ready to come just for that. We're going to fellowship. They've got games out there. We're going to have a good time. And you know what? Watch this. You're not going to have to wake up tomorrow morning feeling guilty. You don't have to wake up tomorrow morning with a hangover. Come on, you're not going to have to wake up tomorrow wondering what you did while you were under the influence of drugs. Come on, come on. Let me tell you something. The world says you got to have all that stuff to have a good time. The Christians over here having the abundant life and having the time of our lives. And the next day, you know what? We can smile and feel good about it. You know what? Because he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, you know what? All of the commercials on TV and all the booze commercials and all of the party. You know, folks, listen, they never put a commercial up where some guy the next morning is laying on the bathroom floor in his own vomit. Come on. Come on. They don't show where the girl's getting the pregnancy test because when she was high, some guy took advantage of her and now she doesn't know what to do next. Now, if you want to listen to the devil, the thief, and the robber, then go ahead. I mean, like I said, it's a personal choice. I know where I'm going. I'm sticking with the shepherd. You know why? Because the shepherd gives me an abundant life. And he brings happiness in my life and victory into my life. And it doesn't mean I don't have to face some hard things. I mean, you know, how much all of you know, but I mean, I've been battling cancer for 3 years. Yeah, look how discouraged I am. Say, so what have you been doing for 3 years? Having the time of my life. Lying to my doctor, telling him I'm doing one thing while I'm doing something else. They don't need to know everything. My nurse, my head nurse tells me, and she'll tell people, now Jerry don't always do what we say. But he always tells on himself when he doesn't do what we say. And I always say, because I'm proud of it. I'm bragging about it. I mean, I'm a guy. Come on. Come on, us guys are kind of stubborn when it comes to going to doctors and paying attention. So they ran a big billboard. They ran a big advertisement campaign across the nation, and they put up these billboards that said, most men will die of stubbornness. And some guy got up there with spray paint and said, no, we don't. No, we won't. Just to prove the point, you know. So, hey, listen, I'm done. Well, I'm done. Thank you for listening so well. But folks, listen to me. Man, it's good to be saved. And I'm so glad that I've become one of the sheep. And I'm glad I can look at Jesus calling my shepherd. But in between life, salvation, and entering into all eternity and enjoying eternal life, there's this thing called abundant life. And you know how you cash in on that? You open this Bible every day and you read it. Whatever God tells you to do, just do it. And whatever he tells you to stay away from, stay away from it. And you know what? This book will make you a better dad. This book will make you a better mom. This book will make you a better husband. This book will make you a better wife. Come on. This book will make you a better grandma and a better grandpa and a better neighbor and a better coworker and a better employee and a better person. And the more that you obey this book and the more you follow the leading of our good shepherd, the more days you're going to lay your head at the pillow at the end of that day and say, wow, sure was a good day. Thank you, Lord. I think tomorrow I'll just get up and do it again. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for saving us. And thank you for all that that means. And if you saved us and that's all you did, it would be more than we deserve. Thank you for the promise of eternal life. And Lord, if all we did in between was to sit in misery and look forward to heaven, it'd still be worth it when we got there. But Lord, thank you that in between salvation and glorification, there's this wonderful thing called the abundant Christian life. And Lord, we're not always going to get it right. We are going to fail, and we're going to fall from time to time. We're going to have to get back up, brush ourselves off, and go to our Heavenly Father and say, I sure am sorry, I messed up, I need your help. Nobody lives a perfect life. Nobody gets it right every day. But Lord, I just pray, dear God, that this would be an encouragement to each and every one of us to the best we can, get up every day of our life, just open up our Bible, spend some time reading it, spend some time talking to you, and then take off into the day following our good shepherd. Lord, if there's somebody here today that's never been saved, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. We don't embarrass people here, and I would never want to do that. But if you're here today and you say, preacher, you talked about knowing for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven, and I can't say that I know that for sure. I don't know if there's ever been a time in my life where I've received Jesus as my Savior. And preacher, I don't know what would happen if I was to die. I mean, I think about it. I wonder about it sometimes, maybe even worry about it. But preacher, if there's a way I could know for sure that I could go to heaven, if the Bible tell me exactly what I needed to do, I'd at least be interested in listening. Preacher, I'm here today and I'm not saved, but the Lord is working on my heart. Would you pray for me, preacher? I'm not saved, but the Lord is working on my heart. Can I pray for you? Just raise your hand real quick. Preacher, I'm not saved, but the Lord is working on my heart this morning. Just keep me in your prayers, preacher. Anybody, I'm looking left, I'm looking right. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? All righty. For those of you that are saved and have just recently been saved, let me just ask you this. Boy, let me just encourage you, I guess, a little bit. I'm glad that you know Jesus as your Savior. What's the first step of obedience after salvation? Get baptized. That's what the Bible says to do next. Well, what about after that, preacher? Everything the Bible says, just try to start doing it. Everything the Bible tells you not to do, stay away from it. Come to church. Fellowship with God's people. Let me tell you something. There is the best life in the world waiting for you. And so don't let the devil talk you out of it, talk you away from it, rob you of it. Just give your life wholly to the Lord from this day forward. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for meeting with us. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for being not only the door, but the good shepherd. And Jesus, thank you for the day that you saved me. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help each and every one of us to the best of our abilities. Every day do the best we can to serve you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.